Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Tuesday's now brought to you by Kenny Lay and Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Rare Tony on a Tuesday. Do we see the former quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars, David Garrard?
He's jet-setting. He's been all over the world.
Can't tell us he's going on NFL Network so we can plug his appearance? No, got to find out. But as I turn on the television, there's Dave, very nattily attired, as he always is. What's up, man? How are you?
You know, that was my bad. They called me a couple days before, and I said, sure. So I didn't go through my Rolodex to see.
You don't need to go through the Rolodex. The Rolodex to say, hey, I don't know. Show might be a little interested in that.
Yeah, I know.
We appreciate you, you know, you holding the retirement news for Jaguars today. You know, we just want to get the word out for you. Seriously, do they tell you, like, keep it quiet, or is it, it's supposed to be a surprise, or is it just doesn't matter?
No, it was, you know, just we're looking for new guys, and so we're trying to find some fresh new faces, and they called me up, and I said, sure, sounds fun. I've been wanting to do it more and more, and I thought it was a great opportunity. I know the travel is the one thing that kind of, you know, makes me hesitate a little bit, but they said it would really be only 1 week out of the month, so, you know, if I do...
1 week out of the month, you'd have to go to Los Angeles if you were to get a deal with NFL Network.
Yeah, and it would be only 2 to 4 shows for that week, so they keep
a stable of guys, and they kind of rotate them through.
They do. Basically. They have guys that they've actually got to move permanently out there, and Heath Evans is one of them, and Willie McGinnis is the other guy, and they have a couple other guys that do the morning shows. So they have certain guys that are... they always can call on because they're right there, and then other guys they want to be able to rotate through just so they have fresh faces, fresh ideas, that kind of stuff.
So how did, I mean, had you expressed interest? Had you talked to anybody from NFL Network before and indicated that if the opportunity arose, or did this kind of come out of the blue? How did that work?
No, as I was, you know, kind of going into my retirement phase there, when I got let go by the Jets the first time, I got a few calls about doing TV, and then when I left the Jets, they just said, hey, you know, what, you want to come out and try us out? I got a call from a lot of places, you know, CBS called and Fox called and NFL Network called. So I was just trying to enjoy the family for a little while, and I kept telling everybody, you know, maybe one day. And so finally I'm at the point now where I'm looking forward to doing something. Now I'll get out of the house a little bit.
The family's worn on you at this point. You've had enough.
I have my gyms too. I have my retro fitnesses, but you know, it only takes so much for me to be over there. And a lot of times it's, you know, you come into a gym, you work yourself out. So there's not really much that you have to do as an owner of a gym.
So you did Total Access Thursday and Friday last week, right?
Yeah.
And what is that? Like, how much prep time goes into that? Give us a little behind the scenes look of what goes into your trip out to Los Angeles.
Well, you have a guy that's kind of like your handler, the guy that's called and brought you out there. And so he's kind of a talent guy. And so he will give you a rundown the night before of what the show would look like. They'll email you some stuff and say, here are some talking points that we're going to have on the show. And then 12 o'clock their time, you go into a production meeting, and there's probably 15 people in there, a lot of interns, a lot of producers, and they just throw out things that are going on around the league, you know.
Much like our production meetings before these shows every morning. Right, Tony? 12 to 15 people collaborating.
As I just arrived 2 minutes ago.
Of the day. So did you just tell them, I don't need this. I do Jaguars Today. We are, this is.
Yeah, I said I got it down.
I've been through the crucible of preparation before.
But as I got in there, the guy that was my handler, he thought, man, you got into the production meeting and you were kind of taking charge of the production meeting. You were leading it, and that was awesome. You know, we've never had anybody come in here and, you know, have so much composure and handle a production meeting that for the first time, you know. So he said, you already started off great, and then went through the show, and he really loved it. I got a lot of feedback from all those guys out there. Honestly, you walk onto the set about a minute and a half before you go on. You know, the guys are, it's real chill. It's real, it's a great atmosphere. They make you feel right at home. And, you know, they just want to hear what you have to say. You don't have to try to make up things. They just want to hear what's in your brain.
So what's the next step? I mean, do you just kind of sit back, see what happens, and see when they contact you next?
Yeah. We usually, every year, we have a little lake house in North Carolina, so we usually go up for the whole summer. And so my guy was like, you should just take a few suits up there with you just in case.
Right.
And so so I packed my suits just in case I get a call this summer to come up there. And, you know, I'm excited about it. You know, hopefully something happens with it. That travel the last week wasn't that bad. I didn't get jet lagged or anything like that. So I felt great. And my kids loved it. I got to see little videos of them watching me on TV. My little girls were jumping up and down.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
There's daddy.
Yeah. They never got to see daddy play. So they still get to see my face on TV.
Oh, you can't be wearing out that DVD at the house.
I'm showing them a couple of YouTube tapes.
there's highlights galore for you kids out there. Did you ever do like a broadcast boot camp, any of those kind of things that, you know, they have those every year mm-hmm. now that certain players take part in them from every team in the league to kind of prepare them to see if they're going to be a good fit for after their career?
Yeah, no, I never did. I always wanted to, but I was always kind of doing other things. Was always trying to work on my craft, just being a quarterback, you know. And so I never flew off to those places.
It's funny you say that, though, because, you know, the second you throw a pick, right?
Yeah.
That, it comes
yeah,
back.
It shouldn't have been at that boot camp.
That 3-day boot camp.
Exactly.
Back in May. You should have been studying the playbook, Dave.
Yep. So I know how to answer a lot of questions now.
Yeah. I'd like to take some credit for him, Tony. I mean, back when he was the backup quarterback, we used to have David Garrard in on a regular basis back in the day. And I think it was that exposure to the big stage that really made him at ease now with these guys at NFL Network out in Los Angeles. So it would be a case where basically they just fly out. If in fact it happens, you know, we'll see it go out there maybe 1 week a month throughout the course of the year if it comes to pass.
Yeah, it'd be great.
All right.
And I'll make sure I alert you guys when I'm going out.
Well, that'd be great. We'd like to be able to promote that for you for no other reason than that, to let people watch and see. And
we demand you get us only one guest a week. Just one.
Yeah, just get, I mean, but.
You know, LaDainian's wandering around out there.
Right.
You just hand him a phone.
Yeah.
Bring him back with you. Or send him back in your place for a week. Just for a week, Dave.
I will definitely set something up.
I'm sure you will. You've only been a great communicator, though, and I think you'd be a natural. Now, does that mean that CBS and Fox, did you choose to pursue this NFL Network thing, or is there still a possibility that there are other avenues out there for you?
Well, my guy did say, you know, now that everybody's, you know, seen you do our show, you might start getting calls from other places now. And I did go out to LA for Fox, but it was to be a color analyst, like for a game.
A game analyst. Okay.
So we did a mock game. It was a Giants Cowboys game, where I think Romo threw like 5 or 6 picks in the first half, and then battled back in the second half to, you know,
shouldn't have been at that broadcast boot camp.
Yeah,
apparently. Tony Romo.
But I didn't particularly like that as much, because you got to be real fast, real quick with your comments, and then you got to get out. I tend to talk a little longer, you know, so I was missing my mark a lot, and I was not nearly as comfortable doing that, so I can be honest with you.
So studio for you as opposed to the booth.
Absolutely.
All right, we can work with that. David Garrard in with us today. We'll talk Jaguar OTAs for things. Stan, John Osier will join us coming up here in less than 10 minutes to get a report from the practice field as OTAs continue today. Dave, a third week of OTAs for a team. Do OTAs around the league now kind of follow the same pattern everywhere you go? There are different teams in different circumstances. You got a new offense coordinator, so there's an installation of the new offense. But even if you have the same coordinator back, you got a lot of new guys. So you're still putting in the offense. What is going on right now in general terms in OTAs?
Yeah, usually if your quarterback is the same, you still install. You still are installing the same way you would before. You just might do it a little faster. You might not go over things as much in detail. And so you have younger guys that have to learn and have to catch up that much more. So if you've been in the same system for a few years, you're still installing, because, like you said, there's new guys that have come in, free agency, there's rookies in there, so you still are going to have to install. But when you have your core nucleus of guys, especially your quarterback, your offensive line, a lot of those guys are the same, you're going to pretty much just kind of run through things, and then you're going to have to catch up. You're going to have to talk to other players that have been in the system for a while. You're going to have to do a little bit extra work on your own if you're a young guy or a new guy onto the team. But you pretty much still install. If those guys have problems, they can go to the coach afterwards and say, hey, you know, I didn't understand this. Coach will go over it a little bit more in detail. You can come in after practice, talk to the coaches, talk to other players. Usually if your quarterback has been in the system for a while, then those players will come to the quarterback and say, hey, I don't understand this. What are you thinking on that? So, yeah, you're installing the same now that
when you say install, you're talking about the overall offense.
Yes.
Given a particular play, right, whatever it is, you got a particular play, we're going to put this play in, right? What's the process? Do you show it in a meeting room? Do you study it in your playbook, expected to know it on your own, and then how many times do you rep it? I mean, what's the process?
So the way they install plays, they install them in the big classroom with the whole offense. So everybody sees the actual play call, the way the play is going to be run. If it's a pass play and there's progressions, they wait for the offensive line to actually leave. They just install a lot of the run game and the pass blocking plays. So they'll install that kind of stuff. But then they show it to everybody so the receivers and running backs can see the routes, or they can see the way things are run, who they're blocking. Once the O-line breaks, they go into their own room because they don't need to see how the receiver's going to run an out route, how he's going to run his post route. They will then have just the skill players in there, and the skill players now will just look at the skill position plays that they're doing. So the offensive coordinator will break the play down for everybody, tell the quarterback he has 1, 2, 3 in his reads, his check down is, you know, over here. So he's explained the play in more detail as it's going to be run for the skill guys. Then once they break down from there and go into their individual rooms, now the quarterback coach is telling the quarterback, okay, these are your steps. This is your read. You're looking for this safety to drop down out of the sky. If you're in a receiver room, now they're saying where your splits are. This is where you line up. This is how you're going to attack cover 2. This is how you're going to attack cover 3. These are the steps for the route, how many steps you have to get before you break out or break to the post. So that's how they go through a normal day of install. So you might install 15-20 plays that day. They're going to do just like that on every play. Now, some plays they might not go into too much detail. They'll say, hey, when you get to your individual rooms, we'll go in more detail on these plays. So they just kind of give you a quick little look over it, and then they take it off the screen and move on. Now, if it's a play that everybody has to hear what everybody else is doing, then they have to go into detail more with them.
Rough estimate. How many plays are you expected to know on game day? Like, if the play gets called, how many? 100? 200? I mean, I know there are variations of all these things, but what are you expected to know?
You know, it just depends on the level of offense. It depends on the quarterback.
What's in the game plan for that week?
Exactly, because if you have a young guy, somebody that's just learning the system, you're not going to put so many plays in. If it's a seasoned veteran, I mean, you might have 250 plays that you've got to know, that you've got to be able to recall. A lot of times for the quarterback, they will say, you got to know the play as soon as I start to say it, because you might get cut off in your headset. It might come in staticky, so you got to be able to recall what I was trying to get to you. And a lot of times I've heard some coaches give the quarterback just the start of the play, and that's it. They expect the quarterback to go in and finish the rest of the play. So it's
you ever just call when you really like and be like, I thought I heard that.
Absolutely. So sometimes you have to be able to call your own play because you might not get anything.
Right.
So you got to know what personnel you have in the game, and you got to know what personnel that will work for the play that you have to be ready to call. So it usually, if you're in the last seconds and you couldn't hear the play, you're going to give a pretty generic play, something that everybody should know, that everybody can run, just so you can get to the next play pretty much.
Everybody go deep.
Everybody go deep.
And it goes to something. Look, Ryan O'Halloran, when he was in with us last week, they had the first opportunity to talk to Greg Olsen, the new offensive coordinator here, about what he was doing with this offense. And one of the things he mentioned that players were reacting to is Olsen was going into the philosophy of why they're running this play. We're running this play to get to this. This is what we want to accomplish with this play. How important is that as a player on the field to have that level?
See, I love that. I love that. I think most quarterbacks are going to love it because they want to know why this play is being run, why this play is going to work, those kind of things. Most skill guys, they don't care. you know, just throw the ball to me.
Right.
Get me the ball. But then you have some guys that are, you know, that you want to know the game, like a Mojo, you know, those kind of guys that are a little bit more in tune and they want to know why. But most skilled players, just get me the ball, is getting the ball in the end zone.
All right. David Garrard is here with us for most of the next couple of hours. He's got a Play 60 event going on later on today. We'll talk about that later. Johnny O from Jaguars.com joins us in about 5 minutes or so to tell us the latest off the OTA practice field. Blake Bortles is going to talk after practice today. We'll hear from Gus Bradley today, hear from James Sample a little bit today, his disappointment with the broken arm, keeping him out of some of these all-season activities. Also, Jaguar rookie A.J. Cann scheduled to join us in studio in about an hour and 20 minutes from now. So a full day for sure. Your calls and texts welcome at 641-1010, both on the phone-in line and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can tweet us and answer the question today, which is just the opposite of yesterday. Today, we ask you, who's the most underrated player in the National Football League? And you can weigh in on that at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at DavidGarrard9, if you so choose. Johnny O, coming up next, it's Jaguars Today, brought to you by Kenny Lay & Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we haven't lost Johnny O to NFL Network yet. Still possible.
Who are we losing?
He may. I don't say we're losing him, but he's angling.
Oh, going big timer over here.
This
guy.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't show up, and you're like, hey, where is he? Oh, he's on my TV. That's where he is. Now, I knew he wasn't coming, but I didn't know why, Johnny O. Dave did a great job on NFL Network last week. I'm not surprised at that.
He used to be kind of a regular on this show. You'd see him every
on NFL
every
Network.
Every Friday, then.
Sure.
I try to be a regular. I think
NFL Network's
kinda,
in Los Angeles. He's an LA guy.
They push me out the door every once in a while.
They like you, man. They like you. Do you know anybody on this team anymore? John was just bringing that up. Like
a handful of guys, and a lot of them only played like one or two seasons. I guess Scobie and Mercedes mainly, and then
Mercedes ought to love you, man.
That's my guy right there, man.
Right.
Tyson a year or two.
The years with, I don't want to even say the name, but the years with the quarterback before, I would just get calls.
You chill, Tony?
I would just get calls like, Dave, man, what are we doing? Where are you at? Please come back.
Oh, no.
But, you know, he's...
Oh, so not the quarterback before you, the quarterback preview. I got you.
Yeah.
The San Francisco 49er quarterback.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But, you know, I kept trying to keep him encouraged and, you know, so he's out there. He's being a trooper, but now I know he's going to be happy now. You know, he has another guy that's going to help him with Julian Thomas. That's going to, you know, be able to get some more balls thrown his way because he's going to, you know, demand such an audience. Julian is, and now he'll get some uncovered throws to him that should be nice and easy for him.
So Johnny, whether it was Mercedes Lewis or Julius Thomas or anybody else, from what we hear. Wasn't the greatest day for the offense yesterday, I guess, right?
Yeah. There were some interceptions. There were also a couple of good plays. Alan Hearns had a nice pass across the middle. I won't give away the play because we can't talk about that, Mike. But
Black 59 Razor.
And then Julius Thomas, again, had a nice catch. But it wasn't probably as crisp as the offense had been in the last couple of days the week before where they were sort of praising and saying great progress. Mercedes afterward... You know, said after coming out of 3 days during the off season, that's not unusual to have a Monday that's not quite as good as the previous maybe Tuesday and Thursday. And you know, Dave probably knows about that more than I do, just what that 3 day layoff in May and June can do as opposed to regular season.
Yeah, you know, when you're pretty much in the middle of OTAs now, you're looking for that long weekend where you can get away and kinda recharge your mind a little bit and just step away a little bit. And so usually when you get back, your mind is still away a little bit and you're trying to get back into the groove. And usually that second day after that long break is when you're back into it. And so that tends to happen. A lot of times when you have, defensive installs, their stuff is, it's not more basic, but they're allowed to just fly around. Where on offense, you have to be more precise. There's more precision involved. There's, you know, executing with the ball in your hands, those kind of things. So it's the defenses always tend to be a little further along during OTAs because of that. It's when you get, you know, towards the end of OTAs and into training camp when you're, you know, you're clicking on more of your cylinders and you're able to compete at a higher level. You're going to have days where you're going to have some great days when the defense is installed something a little bit more difficult, something that they have to think and really execute a little bit better. But when they're just, you know, kind of running some of their basic things, they're just further along. They don't have to deal with the ball and be precise with things. They can be a little bit out of place and still go make a play. So it's just totally different when you're in offense. If you're out of place running a route, it looks bad. It makes the quarterback look bad. Or if the quarterback's off with his throw, then the play just does not look as good.
Well, Mercedes mentioned too, Mike, that this offense that Greg Olsen's installing, there are a lot of it's basic. He compared it to the triangle offense under Phil Jackson, and it was interesting. He said it's basic in one sense in that there doesn't seem to be a ton of formations, but there's a whole lot they can do off each formation. So again, taking into consideration that they are getting their first on-field look. Every day they're putting in something new in the offense on the field. So every day is the first look at something. I don't think it's that unusual that you would have... You're going to have mistakes when you're learning something. OTAs, June, Monday, early June is the time that you want those because you can go off and say, okay, what do we do? Okay, let's get better at that tomorrow. So I don't think it's that unusual to have sort of some rough draft type days in June.
And we're not going to hear Bob Babich or Gus Bradley talk about the defense on a daily basis about the overall speed of the play, but are you continuing to see that trend? Because again, this is we've had the one coordinator and it's not just installing new plays, but it's installing a whole new offense. Sure. So you would expect for that reason as well that the guys on the defensive side would continue to play fast.
I guess they're playing fast. I hate to sit in here after eight OTA days or seven and say, yeah, I see a huge difference in the way they're, you know, it's still OTAs. They're not hitting, so you don't see quite that level of intensity. But as of last week, the coaches believed they were playing a lot faster, and they saw things that made them believe that guys weren't thinking on the fly as much, and they were reading and reacting quickly. So that's what you want out of it.
All right, today, Blake Bortles will talk after practice, and we're 2.5 weeks in to OTAs with minicamp coming up next week. What would you like to hear him say, Dave? What are you going to be listening for to find out what his comfort level is like right now, not only with the new offense, but just handling the where he is now compared to where he was at this time last year?
Well, I'm sure everybody wants to hear how are his mechanics holding up. How does he feel with the new mechanics? Has he learned how to continue to stick with those mechanics, because that's what's going to be his biggest thing throughout the season is, you know, as your body starts to wear down a little bit, the season gets long, you know, are you working still on those things to help you fall back in with your mechanics? And then also you want to hear that he's picking the offense up well. He's picking things up fast. Guys on the offense are picking things up. He's really working with his receivers to make sure they're all on the same page. You know, those are the kind of things that most people want to hear from the quarterback. And then he wants to hear that, you know, we're going to have an explosive team. We're going to have an offense that will be able to compete with anyone. And those kind of things are the things that fans want to hear, because it's been so many years where we just haven't been able to compete with a lot of teams. And we have struggled going down into the latter end of the season for many different reasons. But you know, everybody could point last year that some of the times it was because of Blake's mechanics. So, like I said, if he can say that the things that he worked on with, I believe, Tom House, is it?
Yeah.
Then he can, you know, give fans that comfort that that's behind him and he is ready to just turn into that, you know, maybe not elite quarterback this year, but he's trending in that direction.
I'm sure Mike has asked this before. How hard is it and why is it so hard on October 20th to work mechanics? I get that they're putting in the game plan, but is there just not 10 minutes after practice, or does it take more than that? Or I think fans think, well, there's coaches, so and they're playing football. Why do mechanics break down? But it's a thing for every quarterback that you got to fight, right?
It is. Well, your body starts to break down, and so you have to really do a great job of physically taking care of your body. You got to get in there and do a lot of maintenance work in the training room. You got to eat healthy, of course. The biggest thing for a lot of guys is you get into the October and Thanksgiving and then around Christmas, and it's just one big meal after the other. It's you know, there's a lot of distractions with different events going on that time of the year. It's natural for a lot of guys, and you got to really stay disciplined as an athlete. And what happens is when you're a young guy and you've never been through that, because most of those guys are, you know, done around the, you know, December time in college, you get into the pros and the season is still going and it gets long. There's a lot of hits that you take as a quarterback, and you just your body gets fatigued and you just start relying on just being an athlete as opposed to just sticking with your mechanics. If the season is not going the way you want it to go, then your mind is trying to keep focus. But, you know, as a human, you're feeling it more, especially when you're losing. So if you're winning, things are going great, man, you can, you know, stay on top of your mechanics really easy. But, and so that's the issue a lot of times for quarterbacks. It's a long season. There's a lot of hits. You start feeling like you're going to get hit more often than you really are. And so there's a lot of things that can go on inside your head and with your body that make your mechanics start to fail.
Mike, remember we talked about Tony's mechanics last December. I think it was the holidays.
Absolutely. So, he gets sloppy.
I hadn't thought about it right now, but you put two and two together.
He was checking out.
Yeah, you go back.
It could have been a nagging injury. He was trying to kind of work around.
He's fighting through.
I don't know. John, today we're going to have AJ Cann join us in studio about an hour and 10 minutes from now. Just what kind of feedback? I know it's difficult to assess offensive line play in
these
non-contact OTAs.
Better get two chairs for AJ. He's a big guy.
Big boy, right?
And I don't mean that overweight in any way. He is a, even within the realm of offensive linemen, he is a big, massive guy. And that's exciting if you want to run the ball and could be a road grader type of guy that's starting to reshape that offensive line. So that's a very interesting draft pick on that front.
You would think, too, contract will get done here shortly. I mean, everybody else is under contract for the rookie class.
I haven't talked to anybody about it, but I'm sure it's timing on some payments or some bonus. I mean, with a non-first-round pick, or even a first-round pick this day and age, there's really nothing that's going to stand in the way of getting it done by training camp. But sometimes players want a bonus here or a certain kind of payment structure, or can even go as far as like something with insurance, something that we don't really – it's not very sexy to write about, but it's something that they want to get done before they actually sign the contract. So I'd be stunned if a third-round pick is an issue going into training camp.
What's it like out there today?
It's warm.
Is it warm?
It is warm, and I don't like it one bit. But
all right. Your hat holding up?
It's holding up, and it was $18 well spent.
There are four guys out there, Tony, right now going, where's my shade? Ozier, get back out here with that hat. That is a big hat, brother. All right, Johnny O, Jaguars.com. What are you writing about this afternoon?
Quarterback talks.
As
Dave knows, when the quarterback talks, the media listens.
The media listens. Absolutely. And reports. Thank you, John. John Ozier, you can check him out on Twitter, of course, at John Ozier, and check him out on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. He's been coming in over the last few weeks, checking in on OTAs. We'll hear again from John on Thursday morning, next time the Jags are out on the practice field. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you, back with more Jaguars today. And Kenny Lay and Associates brings it to you, DivorceMenOnly.com. Tuesdays live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's really been easy. For the most part, we like some of the same stuff. We're going to compete to make each other better because ultimately that's going to continue to make this team better. You know, before he even got here, you know, we were cool, you know, back on the West Coast and all of that. So it's not really an issue for us, you know.
Cool back on the West Coast, Tony. It's how they were. Mercedes Lewis, Julius Thomas.
Yeah. When he says they like some of the same things, is that like offensively?
Catching touchdowns.
Right.
We like some of this. We have some of the same hobbies.
We both like basketball.
What's tight ends. We like playing tight end. I don't know. I think he was asked about, the question was probably, what's your relationship like with Julius Thomas? So it almost seemed like a Match.com kind of situation developing.
We both like
there.
Chinese.
We both like some. We have some of the same interests and hobbies.
We
and
prefer flowers on the table
at
the restaurants we go
both
to.
Both West Coast guys? I know Mercedes is.
Yes. Yeah. Julius Thomas went to school in
up Portland Pacific State. Northwest, yeah. somewhere yeah. up there. Yeah. Right? Yes.
So they just probably vibed together well.
They got that West Coast chill, man. Have they yeah. not seen San Andreas? It's all going to fall apart.
I don't
apart.
Know, but I've seen it. It is awesome.
Did you?
I did. You guys
was
must
it?
Have, you guys must have bagged it. I'm just talking.
No, I'm just curious. Cause
I liked it. I liked all the action and the cinema.
I didn't think it was horrendous. Because I went
acting
in,
wise.
Well, but I went in to kind of know. I mean, it's The Rock, and it's an action yeah. movie, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be Citizen Kane or something
no,
like
I
that.
No, I just loved all the action. I guess I'm just a visual action guy. I just love seeing the fact that
you love all that good CGI.
Yeah, I do. But I just kept telling myself, The Rock, he just does not. He's not a very good actor. Like, he is trying really hard to be like sentimental and real thoughtful in this movie, as opposed to just a guy bashing people's
just
heads.
Just arch your eyebrows some more.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you probably should do less talking and just arch eyebrows.
Just yeah, a little more arch. Hey, look, he went on. I don't know if you saw him host Saturday Night Live. The most recent time he did, and
the wrestling sketch was amazing.
Well, he did the opening song. Yeah. Was how he talked about how he was franchise Viagra in Hollywood. Basically, if your movie franchise is sagging, just invite The Rock to come in and mm-hmm. and pep that thing up. And look, people buy tickets and go see him, man. He's doing something right, I'll tell you that. It wasn't exactly Oscar worthy, I don't think. But nevertheless.
Good action, though.
Good to know. Dave thinks San Andreas was a good movie.
I like it.
If you're into action, you need to be seeing Mad Max.
I saw that.
Oh, my God.
Really, I didn't see it 8 times or 9 or 10 times. Like, yeah, but
just once?
I could go see it a couple more times. Though. Yeah. It was really good.
I love it.
It was really good.
Best of the year?
So far.
So far,
me, yeah.
All right. You and Tony.
Did you Nothing's not, close
did,
yet,
Did you not
man.
See Avengers?
I did see Avengers. Okay. I thought it was great, too.
All right. Fine.
But I just loved all the action that was in Mad Max.
Let's hear. Well, I tell you what, before we hear, I wanted to ask you one follow-up to what we were talking about a moment ago with John Osier and just, you know, quarterbacks preparing in the offseason and mechanics and how he talked about, because I'm struck by the same thing, how there's no time in the season, they say, to work on your mechanics. And one thing that popped into my mind, but we didn't have time to get into, was when you're dealing with the bumps and bruises of playing in the NFL, you may not be, quote-unquote, injured, but you're hurting, right? I mean, you get banged up, and so I would think sometimes throwing it with your normal mechanics might be, maybe you got hit in the chest, maybe you got hit in the arm, and it doesn't feel right to do that. So do you have to battle that tendency to want to kind of work around that injury? You know what I mean? And maybe if you drop the ball down a slot in your release, all of a sudden it feels better, but the results aren't going to be as good. So you have to fight through that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. There's definitely that when you have nicks that affect your throw in motion that you're still fighting through and nobody really knows about it because maybe your ribs are a little bruised or you've been hit in the shoulder a few times, you've hit the ground a couple times and your arm is a little sore. So you're trying to maybe adjust your throw by throwing a little bit more sidearm because it feels a little bit better, but now your balls are getting knocked down or they're a little off target. Another thing is really your body not being able to, you know, complement what your mind is doing because you're trying to tell it to do this, but physically it's just not getting it done or not getting it done to the point where you were early in the season when you were fresh. And so now you're thinking, well, I've got to get the ball out a little bit earlier or I feel like I'm getting hit more often, so you're rushing yourself. So a lot of these things are mechanics. If you don't just go through the rhythm of the play and you're not confident in the guys that are in front of you, they make your mechanics, mentally your mechanics start to break down as well. So I think that happens to guys a lot is they're getting hit so often throughout the season. I mean, Blake was sacked, what, 70?
71
times last year.
I mean, it was 73. I'm not sure.
Oh, was
how
it
many...
team 73? Okay, yeah. So but, okay. Well, we had the 10 with Henny in week two, but a bunch.
He was in the 50s, I want to say.
So if you get hit that many times, now you're trying to think, okay, I've got to get the ball out a little bit earlier, or I need to escape the pocket now. And so all those things are mechanics. And so when you're reviewing film, your coach is going to say, you know, why did you leave the pocket so early? Look at the pocket around you. And in your mind, you're thinking, man, I thought I felt somebody on this play, you know, bearing down on me. And a lot of those things just start to adjust. And so you have to really kind of go out there with the confidence in your mind, in your body to just make the plays. And you're going to have to adjust some things as the season goes on because your body is going to get beat up at times, and you're going to still have to make those same plays, and that the great ones still find a way to make those plays.
All right, David Garrard is here with us in studio. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. We're live at Everbank Field here for Jaguars today. Coming up in just under an hour, we're scheduled to have AJ Can join us fresh off the practice field, so we'll look forward to that, the third round offensive lineman out of South Carolina. But now let's listen in on what Gus Bradley had to say yesterday after practice wrapped up. Here was his opening statement.
We increased the reps a little bit today. I think you saw it went a little bit longer than the last couple practices. Got some situation work. We went sudden change after a turnover, you know, both ways, offense and defense, and a lot of third down work. A lot of third down work. You'll see that this whole week. More situations, man, quite a bit of red zone. Since that was an area we felt like we needed to improve on, the next couple days you'll see that.
We talk about quick change. We know that means, you know, quick strike after a turnover kind of situation, right? I mean, is there that feeling that when the defense has been out on the field for the other team and all of a sudden their offense gets the ball back, turns it over, and they're right back on the field, that they're more vulnerable at that moment on that first play? Because you see a lot of offense coordinators like to take a shot, particularly if you get between the 40-yard lines, right? They like to take that shot downfield, at least it seems.
Well, yeah, so now the offense is coming out a little more geeked up, and the defense is coming out just beat a little bit because we just turned the ball over. So just human nature, one side's going to be up a little higher, the other side's going to be a little bit more down. And so you want to take that strike. You want to, you know, go for the throat, if you will, to be able to get the ball into the end zone, especially when you're in within striking distance. That's the key. If you're, you know, you get the ball on your 20, then you're not going to really try to strike. But as soon as you cross that 50-yard line, whether you just got the turnover or not, a lot of offensive coordinators like to go for a strike at that point.
Gus Bradley talking after practice yesterday, also asked by Ryan O'Halloran about the offense, as he said, struggling in yesterday's practice.
I was just talking to Ole about it really is a good situation because you do have some new faces on offense to say, hey, when we are in a situation like this and things aren't exactly going our way, how do we want to handle it? And I think we come out of that situation knowing that, and the players feel comfortable with that and knowing it'll be great. So we don't want to miss that part. But you're right, there is some, you know, some interceptions in there and some tip balls. So, you know, but the defense, they did a nice job.
That's classic Gus Bradley. To me, it is anyway. All right, here's we had a bad practice offensively. I'm paraphrasing here. So this is good because when we're bad on offense in the future, we'll have gone through it before and we'll know how to handle it, right? I mean, that is classic Gus. Instead of saying, damn, you know, we need to tighten this up. You're going to have those days when you're not as sharp as you need to be in the month of June.
So a lot of times when you're installing all these plays, you feel good about the early installations because you've had time to think about them beforehand. It's when you start getting to those, third, fourth, fifth installations. Now you've passed the point of where you were real comfortable in 1, 2, and 3 install to now you still know 1, 2, and 3, but now you're adding on top of it. And you get to the point where there's a little bit of an overload, and so you're thinking too much. And when you have a lot of interceptions in a practice, it's because you don't have complete control of the system yet. And so you're thinking through the plays. You're a little bit late on some of the throws just because you're not able to anticipate what you want to do with that play. And so you just get into that part of the OTAs where you've kind of stacked installations on top of each other, and you're not nearly as comfortable like you were early on.
Blake Bortles will talk, as we mentioned, after practice today, and we'll hear those thoughts, I'm sure, across 1010XL the rest of the day. But Gus Bradley was asked yesterday after practice about what kind of day Blake had on the practice field.
Everybody goes through situations. I don't know how he threw his completion. I think he had one interception, I think. You know, so just to be able to bounce back from him, he's been doing really good. We were talking about today his release, throwing mechanics, all those things. Sometimes you have a day where, you know, you throw an interception. It can happen. You know, guys will throw multiple interceptions. But I think for him is the learning, okay, now, once it happened, how do you want to handle this team? How do you want to handle this offense? And that's with everybody in that offensive unit.
Well, one thing we know, Blake's got to cut down that number this year, particularly in relation to how many touchdowns he throws. We'll hear more from Gus Bradley coming up. Also hear from James Sample how he's dealing with the unfortunate injury that he suffered last week with the broken arm. Hopes to be back at some point during training camp. All that coming up, but up next, the state in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. Tuesdays brought to you by Kenny Lay and Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Mike Dempsey, David Garden, Fat Tony here.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this state in football history brought to you all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. You know, we just saw recently that Yahoo will be the internet provider for the Jaguars-Bills game coming up week 7 in London. And Yahoo paid reportedly upwards of $10 million. The exact figures were not released to broadcast that one game in the National Football League over the internet. Well, on this date, June 9th, back in 1960... ABC Television signed a 5-year contract with the AFL, which was for a little over $2 million for the entire league to split up. And times, they are changing. They stayed with ABC for the first 5 years of their existence before switching to NBC. And as we mentioned yesterday was the announcement in 1966 on that date that the NFL and the AFL would eventually merge in 1970, despite the fact that we've been told over years that Joe Namath and the Jets beating the Colts in the Super Bowl is what precipitated the merger. It was already well in the works at that point. Born in this state in 1973. I would say, who do you think is the TV broadcaster who's the biggest homer for the former team he used to play for right now?
Gosh, I have no idea.
I'm going to give you Teddy Bruschi as a nominee. Right here. Seriously, Teddy Bruschi couldn't possibly conceive of the Patriots ever lying in any circumstance or ever doing anything underhanded. 42 years old today, 3-time Super Bowl champ, played his entire career, drafted in 96, played his entire career with the Patriots up in New England. You can understand why he's loyal to them. Born on this date in 1983, return man extraordinaire Josh Cribbs, 3-time Pro Bowler, 1-time first team All-Pro, 11 return touchdowns, including 8 of the kickoff variety in Josh Cribbs' career. That is this state in football history, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, right here in town on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you've heard about the custom fit stop snoring mouth guard by SomnaMed, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this state in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Russell Wilson's agent, Mark Rogers, sent a 16-page report to the Seattle Seahawks yesterday that explained his position on the contract negotiations between the two sides. Rogers and Wilson continue to say that they are willing to play out the final year of the contract unless they are given what they consider the right offer from the team. Wilson is scheduled to make $1.55 million this year, would be a free agent next year. If he gets the next offseason and no contract has been agreed to, the odds are pretty high that the team would place the franchise tag on him, which would pay Wilson something in the neighborhood north of $20 million for next season. The Arizona Cardinals are starting their veteran minicamp today. Quarterback Carson Palmer will participate in live 11-on-11 drills for the first time since tearing his ACL in his left knee in November last season. And Houston Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins has not participated in the Texans OTAs after offseason wrist surgery. Texans head coach Bill O'Brien did say that he expects him to be ready for training camp.
Which is interesting because he's taken over now the lead role with Andre Johnson. And you could argue he was in the lead role last year, statistically at least. But, you know, Andre Johnson still, I think, Dave, I think he's in line to have a nice year in Indianapolis playing with the best quarterback he's ever had. But, you know, when you are a defensive coordinator, I think you respect the speed that DeAndre Hopkins brings to the table. But I think over even up through last year, you had to respect what Andre Johnson has meant to that offense. Arian Foster, you've got those two guys drawing attention away. We'll see if DeAndre Hopkins can do it now that he's going to be more in the spotlight.
You know, it's a different role when you're the guy now. You know, even when you're making a lot of plays as number two and you're outdoing number one, it's totally different when you're the guy. A lot of things are going to be going through his head. He can stand up and make the plays and produce like he should. But then there's some times when guys, you know, don't play as big as they were before because now everybody is directing their attention to him. And he has to figure out ways to continue to get himself open with the different looks that he's going to get. Andre Johnson, I think, went into last season just not very happy. Didn't really have quarterbacks that were throwing him the ball consistently. And, you know, he's going to be a different guy, I think, going into this season with Andrew Luck, being able to have a quarterback that will throw the ball to you in a lot of different ways deep down the field, where I know he likes to go make plays for the ball. So he's going to be a guy that, you know, you definitely are still going to have to look at this year.
Yesterday we talked about overrated players in the league, who you thought was the most overrated guy out there, and a few people suggested Andrew Luck was overrated. They felt he was overhyped. They may be looking at that through the prism of the Jacksonville Jaguar fandom. I don't know. But to me, I don't know what much more he could have done to live up to the hype, other than, you know, go the route that Russell Wilson did and win Super Bowls already. But he's won 11 games every year. Statistically, you know, 40 touchdowns last year. He's cut down on his interceptions to some degree. And we looked at the numbers because a lot of people say, look, he just beating up on the Jags. He has had a more statistically impressive track record against the Houston Texans than any. But against the Jags and the Titans, his numbers are in line with what he does against everybody around the league on average. You know, it's not like he's just simply feasted on what's been a weak AFC South over the last few years.
Well, I mean, it's really hard to say Andrew Luck is overrated. I mean, even if, you know, he's in a weak division, he's still dominating that division, you know. So you can't say just because the teams in there are weak, at least he's doing what he's supposed to do. And when he plays a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote big boys, he's still going out there and beating them, too.
I think when they lose to New England handily, and that's the lasting impression you have, right?
Absolutely.
Now, prior to that, though, they went into Denver and won in the playoffs. So, you know, I mean, it kind of goes both ways. I think most people realize where he is. Tony mentioned Carson Palmer getting some work in off-season practices for Arizona. You talk about underrated teams. That may be the most underrated team right now. This is a team that was so good last year, made it to the playoffs, and really with no quarterback play to speak of once Palmer went out. When did he go out, Tony? Pretty early
week
in the
10.
Year. Was it week 10?
Yeah.
Not as early as I would have guessed, like week 6 or 7. Week 10 last
but
year.
He had some issues before that, though, I think, though. I don't think he just went straight through.
He might have.
I think he has still had some issues.
He had just signed the contract extension that week, and then he tore up the ACL. In the following game.
One issue he did not have was good timing. He had that covered.
Great timing.
He had that covered. but, you know, the rest of those guys were kind of just journeyman type or filler type guys. And you get him back if they're able to protect him this year. They bring in Mike Iupati. For instance, they draft DJ Humphrey. So they've spent some money on that offensive line. They restructured Larry Fitzgerald's deal. They've got some young guys that they feel can be playmakers in the passing game. They draft David Johnson to complement Andre Ellington in the running game. And that defense has been stout for a while now. It's just, you know, you look up and Seattle's going to be tough to knock off the perch, but San Fran looks like they're taking a step back.
Man, San Fran is just falling apart out there.
Right. I mean, yet another guy retires. We talked about this yesterday with Anthony Davis. So now you had, you couldn't have been shocked at Justin Smith retiring. You knew probably with them that that's kind of a year-to-year basis. You had to be pretty surprised Patrick Willis stepped away.
Absolutely.
You had to be stunned that Chris Borland and Anthony Davis retired before the age of 25.
Absolutely. And it just seems like, you know, week after week, somebody is leaving that team or somebody's doing something. And, you know, it's going to be tough to replace all these guys. And who are you going to bring in? Yeah, I mean, you're losing quality guys, not just, you know, somebody's backup or, you know, a okay guy. You're losing some of your top flight guys.
Chris Borland was fantastic last year as the third round pick. Go back to the original story, the first story Tony was talking about there, Russell Wilson and his contract deal. I contrast that with Eli Manning. I just read a blurb about him either last night or this morning, where he's basically like, I know I'm doing it in like dopey Eli voice in my head, right? But he's kind of just like, you know, that look on his face. And he says, hey, I signed a 6-year deal. This is year 6. I don't understand what the problem is, you know, and it's, you don't hear that very often that who cares? All right. I'm under contract for this year. What am I worried about next year for? Because everybody's looking to get that next deal. Now it's easier for Eli because he's made money.
Yeah.
He's got the Super Bowl rings. His legacy is secured. Russell Wilson has the Super Bowl ring. He's building that legacy, but he hasn't made anything close to NFL real money.
No, he's still young, and you know he wants to be able to be set for life. You know, so he's still making decent money, you know, but, you know, Uncle Sam's going to take half of that 1.5 that he's going to make. So it's not really 1.5, you know, so he's, but he's got a lot of off the field marketing things that he's able to kind of fall back onto. So that gives him a little bit more comfort to be able to say, I'll just play out my contract. But, you know, when you've done some of the things that he's done, why would you want to even take that chance? Why would you not want to just lock your guy up? And I'm sure they're saying stuff like, you know, he's a small guy. He's going to start breaking down. He runs a lot. But he doesn't take those big hits, you know.
It's that uncanny ability to avoid them seemingly.
And he makes all the plays that you need your quarterback to make. So I'm not sure why, unless, you know, the Wilson camp is just asking for, you know, astronomical money.
Well, what do you think? What is fair for a guy who's been in the league for 3 years with the stats, which I think people think Russell Wilson, unless they really follow it, they think, well, yeah, but I mean, they don't throw it that much. His numbers, though, TD to interception ratio are outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, he's thrown more touchdowns in the first 3 years than practically any quarterback in league history. Practically. There are a handful of exceptions there. Won a Super Bowl, came within a play or so of winning a second Super Bowl. Wouldn't you ask for the moon if you're his agent?
Absolutely, absolutely. But they're gonna throw stuff back, you know, if Marshawn Lynch is gone in a year or two or something like that, and now you're asking Russell Wilson to carry the offense, carry the team. You know, is he going to be able to do that? I think he will, because I think he'll be a little bit older and he'll be able to throw the ball, you know, many more times in a football game. So he should ask for the moon, but they're going to poke holes in the dumbest things. You know, he doesn't have the build of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, those kind of guys. He's a smaller guy. He could get hurt at any time. We have to be able to protect ourselves in case he does. What if, you know, he's still young, and what if he has a bad year? It's dumb, the things that they would bring up to say why he shouldn't get paid, when clearly he should. Everybody knows he should.
We've seen two cases with players in the AFC East this offseason. LeSean McCoy, now with Buffalo. Brandon Marshall, now with the Jets, whose teams traded for them, then had them under contract, ripped up the existing deal to give them a little bit of either a bump or more guaranteed money. Kind of a let's, you know, soothe your ruffled feathers a little bit kind of thing. Do you think Seattle, in your opinion, and Dan Hicken has brought this up quite frequently, do you think Seattle should say, hey, you know what? We don't know where it's going to end up working out with the long-term deal, but for now, we recognize you're underpaid this year. Let's bump you $5 million this year. Could you see a club doing that? Do you think that would be a wise thing to do just for good, you know, peace of mind for Russell Wilson, positive feelings, or will that matter in the long run?
I don't think they would do that, because I don't think they would want to, because now when somebody else comes into that situation, now, you know, are you just going to give me a little bit of cash to keep me quiet for right now? You don't want to set that precedence that, you know, we're just going to give you a little bit of cash when you should be getting paid, you know. So they're going to continue to work on the deal. I would see the deal getting done. Because you just don't want to look bad like that as the, you know, Seattle, you were nothing before he got there, you know, until the Super Bowl, you know, what, 10, 12 years ago, you were nothing before he got there. So why wouldn't you want to pay this kid and show the rest of your team, the rest of the league, potential free agents that are going to come in at some point, that you are willing to pay guys that deserve it? I mean, don't give me a little bump. I don't deserve a little bump. I won you a Super Bowl. Just put that in their face. I won you a Super Bowl in my second year in the league. I mean, come on. You could have this guy for the next 10 years in the league. Why wouldn't you want to pay him? It just doesn't make any sense. But when there's a reason why you have a lot of money. And so,
because you don't give it away that easily.
Exactly.
Yes.
So,
right. Gotcha. All right. We will take a timeout. We'll come back more from Gus Bradley. Hear a little bit from James Sample, his reaction to being out right now, likely until at some point during training camp. All that coming up. We'll also take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, asking you today who's most underrated player in the National Football League. We'll weigh in on that as well. And still to come today, coming up in about 25 minutes or so, A.J. Cann, Jaguar rookie offensive lineman, joins us in studio. Kenny Lay and Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, our Tuesday sponsor. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tuesdays, Jaguars Today, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Fan feedback spotlight question of the day. Who's the most underrated player in the National Football League? Who do you think is outstanding that doesn't get the recognition for it? We'll get to that coming up here shortly. We'll also get to AJ Cann coming up in about 20 minutes. Going to join us, Dave. You're leaving here after this upcoming segment in about 10 minutes or so. You've got an NFL Play 60 event, which is, see if I can characterize this the right way, it's kind of the NFL's initiative to get kids more active and just stay healthier and instill some of those good habits at an early age, right?
Yeah, just basically you want to get outside for 60 minutes a day and play. I would think you'd be outside all day.
All day.
In the summertime.
Now it's like, you got, trust me, now it's like, Dad, can I play my no?
Yeah, I know.
No yard.
We deal with the same thing
sweat.
In my household, too.
Go sweat. Go
my son will go outside. Sweat. He'll come back inside and say, Dad, you see I got sweat on my head? Can I go play my video
Can I go
game
play
now?
It now? How about now, Dad? Am I sweating enough for you today? Go mow the lawn, kid.
Yeah, it's at Philip Randolph Park right here, just blocks down from the
stadium. And
you'll
be talking to the kids?
Yeah, you know, I'm talking about healthy eating, you know, eat your fruits and vegetables, all that kind of stuff, and hydrate, especially here in Florida in the
drink
summertime.
Drink those juice boxes.
Drink water. Occasional juice box.
Okay. No healthy juice boxes
out
there?
You need a little bit of sugar, too.
Yeah, just a little bit. They're not all full of sugar.
Not all of them.
So when you get, like, you know, pure apple juice in there, man. Nothing but the good stuff.
Would be full of sugar.
All right. Would it be? It probably would be, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, whatever.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, probably
I think
why
only
I look
grape
like
juice
I am.
Would have more sugar among the fruit juices.
Yes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Maybe pineapple juice would.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't anybody just
they're good,
like,
though.
Squeeze the juice out of fruit and put it in a container for you to buy? Or is that? Are we talking about naturally occurring sugar? Or are you talking about they're pumping it full of more sugar?
They're naturally occurring sugar.
Ah, that's fine then.
Yeah.
It's good sugar.
It's good sugar. That's God's sugar. We call that, Tony. Straight off
the tree. If you're going to send the kid out to run around for an hour, you need to give him something.
Right. Well,
a little bit of gas.
Exactly. And, well, you're staying in good shape, obviously, with Retro Fitness going on. You've got, tell us about the two locations. You've got Retro Days coming up on June 27th.
27th, yeah. Bay Meadows and Southside, that one is going to be from 10 to 4. Actually, I'm sorry. Bay Meadows and Southside is going to be from 1 to 4. And then the one at Harbor Village is going to be from 10 to 1. So we're going to have both locations going. There's going to be bouncy houses for kids. There's going to be a football throwing little target thing outside. I believe we're going to try to have a treadmill outside and try to compete with the other gym and see who can do a marathon. Basically, not one person, but anybody can hop on and
keep
it
going. Oh, and do the treadmill for 26 miles?
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so we're trying to do a lot of fun things. You'll be able to get free smoothies if you come out. So we're going to have some older Jags and hopefully some new Jags come out to it as well.
All right, we'll talk about it more before it gets here, but that's June 27th. Harbor Village 10 to 1, Bay Meadows and Southside 1 to 4, we think.
Yes.
At this point in time. More details to come on that. But if you want to check out Retro Fitness, Dave has been talking about them. Two new beautiful facilities here in Jacksonville. That's a great opportunity to do it and maybe mingle with some former Jaguars as well.
Yeah.
So there you have it. All right.
Fun times.
To it. Bring your apple juice and you'll
have
plenty of energy.
We'll give you smoothies. You can come on out.
Or that. That's even better. Free smoothies. Can't beat it. More from Gus Bradley here. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, certainly. I mean, things are going to happen. James Sample was in at the end of a play. And you know how they teach guys, seems across the NFL now, Dave, to really work on ripping that ball out. Mm-hmm. It's really good defense in part has gone away from form tackling a guy to let's see how many turnovers we can create, right? And let's take some chances because that sometimes results in you giving up a bigger play. But they try to instill that mindset in you. So here he is after practice trying to rip the ball out and got his arm caught in a weird position and you know, broken arm's going to set him back, but should be ready to go for the start of the season. But Gus Bradley just kind of talked about missing James Sample on the field.
Well, it'd been great to have him because he was coming along. I think last week I talked about we're going to try to get him some reps up there with the ones. So not to have him in there to get those, it's unfortunate. But the good news is he'll be back. You know, we'll have him for the season.
And James Sample actually spoke in the locker room after practice yesterday about the broken arm and how he is, what his mindset is like right now.
I just look at it as a new challenge. You know, now I got to just compete against myself, against my body to get better and better each day, to rehab better and better, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Now I got to get mentally prepared to come back and watch more film, be in my playbook a little bit more. I'm willing to accept the challenge.
Mental reps are great, but how difficult is it for a rookie to come in now and he can't be on the field absorbing what he needs to absorb?
Yeah, I mean, he's not out there on the field making plays and making mistakes. We talked earlier about offense making mistakes. Sometimes making a mistake is okay in OTAs and in practice because you can learn from it. You go back in, you watch film, you see what you did wrong, and then you go out there and correct it. And so he's not going to be able to do those kind of things. So he's not going to have much to fall back on mentally with his reps that he's missed. And so when he gets into training camp, it's going to be kind of all new again. And so he's going to have to start learning at that point in time to be able to, you know, find those things. And he's going to make his mistakes then he's going to learn. So he's just going to be behind. Hopefully he's a guy that can be a student of the game too, that can go in and watch the film and get a little bit better in there. But it's just nothing like being out there actually on the field.
They obviously like him a lot, but I think the good thing is you look at the depth that they have. Josh Evans played a lot of football for them, and they signed Sergio Brown, who we thought, even with Sample being drafted, would be the likely opening day starter at free safety. You know Cyprian's going to be the strong safety. Gus was asked about Sergio Brown, and if Brown now has a leg up in the competition, even more so to be the starting free safety.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know what, Sergio for him is a whole new system, and I think that the detail part of the system for him was new, learning all the nuances. It's not just back there playing middle third. You know, there's a lot of things that go a part of it, and that's what he was learning. But I see him starting to be where he's in his comfort level, at least understanding his alignments and responsibilities.
Was Gus riding the mower at that point?
It sounded like it. You guys follow me. I got to
get that O'Halloran.
Those field guys, they don't stop after practice. It's just go time for whoever's out there doing the equipment stuff. Gus was also asked about Sergio Brown and that vocal swagger he has on the field.
We've got guys that like to talk and, you know, enjoy playing football out there. And I think you'll probably see him become even more of that once he becomes more comfortable. But it's within reason, right? As long as it doesn't, you know, distract from the team, distract from the unit, but brings energy, we're all for that.
Well, let's see if this would be described as a distraction. Here's Sergio Brown doing his best Ric Flair.
Talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo!
There you go. That was with JP Shatter.
That's pretty
Jaguars.com
good.
He's a big Ric Flair guy. He's an interesting guy. They had, as you know how it goes, man, you know, dog days of summer, coach will cancel a practice. They'll have a team bonding thing. Some teams play kickball, like the Dolphins, and get their kicker injured doing it. Caleb Sturgis hurt himself.
Isn't that perfect? Kicker trying to show off at a kickball game.
At least he wasn't chopping wood, though.
He hurt his plant leg. That's a good point. I don't know how many team-sponsored injuries were worse than that one. But they went to see Entourage as a group, and Sergio Brown tweeted out a picture of himself, who he happened to have an Entourage DVD in his glove box in his car, and he tweeted out a little Vine or whatever it was of himself holding up the DVD, basically declaring it the best day ever. He has low standards, this Sergio Brown. Nice guy, but that's your best day ever. What was your best coach coming in canceling practice kind of thing story that you've got? It had to happen at least like once a year, I would think.
It did. I think it was definitely Jack, and we were coming out. It was the last day of OTAs, and you know, there were some rumors that we wouldn't go out to practice, and, you know, coach came in and said, I don't know what you guys have been talking about. I don't know what you've heard. Get your stuff on. Let's go out to practice. So everybody's like, oh no. So we get dressed. We walk out on the field. They blow the horn. He says, bring it up. Let's go back in.
You get all the way dressed?
All the way out there. Actually, we actually warmed up, too. We warmed up, got in our stretch lines. He said, let's get together. Let me talk to you real quick before we get started. And he just kind of, you know, kind of went into a little story and then said, all right, let's break it down. Let's go home.
That's it. We're done.
That was a good one. But then when I was with the Jets, it just happened. We actually it was our last day and we knew we were going bowling. So we're going to the bowling alley and we show up and there's fire trucks everywhere. So we're like, I don't know if this is going to work. He's like, guys, just be patient. Let's go around back. Let's see what's going on. So we waited for 10 or 15 minutes, and he said, you know what, in some of his choice words, forget this. Let's go home. So we were like, yes. As much as we would have loved to bowl right now, we'd rather go home.
Oh, I thought this story was going to be like, all right, it's us versus the FDNY or some big thing.
There was a problem at the bowling alley.
The bowling alley was on fire.
Actual problem.
And, so we got to go. And Rex said, forget you.
So I got to get my flight out a little early, and I got home a little early.
Very nice. Didn't one year, was it Manawai who did the Polynesian spinning thing?
It was a couple guys. It was Manawai, I think Chad Owens too.
Was Owens okay?
Yeah, so I think those two guys got up there and did the little luau fire.
Basically like a baton that's on a flame on each end.
And they were spinning it around and doing their dance.
Manawai was supposed to be pretty good at it,
He was. He was real good at it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a skill you could entertain the troops with?
No. No, just
give them a little play 60 talk.
Just throwing the ball.
Guys, it's important for you to take advantage of these practice opportunities. Stay healthy.
We're going to run routes today.
Break a sweat.
I hope you're ready for it.
And then head to the bowling alley. All right, Dave, what's on the agenda for you for the rest of the week? What you got going on?
Well, we actually are getting ready to head home for the summer. We'll be coming back for our retro day, and we'll come back throughout. But we go up to North Carolina to a beautiful lake up there, and that's where we spend most of the summertime.
All right, we'll see if you can pop in and visit us when you're back in town for Retro Fitness Days.
Absolutely.
Coming up on June 27th. We'll remind folks about that coming up. Have a wonderful summer.
Thank you.
Good luck with your endeavors with the NFL Network. We'll see where that goes. If they have any sense, they'll be flying you out there on a regular basis out to Los Angeles. And we'll do it again soon, all right?
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. All right. You guys have fun here, too, in the summertime.
We always do.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? the height of where you want to be. David Garrard, ladies and gentlemen, signing off. Coming back next, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, AJ Cann of the Jacksonville Jaguars going to join us in studio here. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, Tuesdays, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. AJ Cann scheduled to join us here in a couple of minutes, fresh off the practice field. I don't know how fresh he'll be coming off the practice field, Tony. Osher said to get a double-wide seat for him. We'll find out. AJ Cann going to join us here, a new member of the Jags offensive line. Just got the your number one salute from Fortunato as he walked by the studio door.
Sweet.
I think that's what that meant, I hope. I don't know if you're out there and you think, boy, I'm so good at something that, you know, I'm way ahead of the game. You're probably not as ahead of the game at what you think you are as Cole Hammer is. Have you heard about this kid? He's one of 13 amateurs, I'm sorry, to qualify for the U.S. Open.
No.
He's 15.
Jeez.
Makes me sick is what he does.
15 years old, going to play in the U.S. Open.
Cole Hammer. I'm Cole Hammer, and I'll be playing in the U.S. Open. Fortunato like that one. AJ Cann going to join us here in just a second. 15 years old, Tony. I'm not happy for him. He makes me sick is what he does, qualifying for the U.S. Open. He could probably bomb at about 3:30.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember athletically what I was doing at 15. It was not qualifying for a U.S. Open.
I was told we need a double-wide seat for A.J. Cann. He's a big fella, but he's not that big, man. He's all right. A.J. coming off a hot practice right now, joining us here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. How you doing, A.J.?
No, pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing all right. Is it steamy out there or what?
Yes, it can get pretty hot.
Not too bad, though. Yeah. You handling it okay. How have OTAs gone for you the first couple weeks?
This is going good so far. You know, still learning a lot. Happy to be out there with the team and finally get my feet wet, running some plays. So it's going good.
People talk about this kind of practice, this time of year, there's not supposed to be much contact going on out there. What as an offensive lineman are you trying to work on and get better on in those kind of circumstances?
More so technique type of stuff and all of that, you know, hands, feet, and just quickness. Yeah.
I know a lot of players on the team transitioning with the new offensive coordinator, new offense coming in. For you, it was going to be brand new anyway. How do you feel like you're adjusting to a new offense here in Jacksonville?
I think I'm adjusting to it pretty good. Like I said before, you know, like you just said, it's different from college. You know, it's a lot more plays, but I think I'll be able to get it down pat.
Take us back to draft night for you, man. What was it like, or draft weekend, I suppose, as it went? You know, just being selected where you did, the whole process. When you go in the third round, did you have an inkling that Jacksonville was interested in you?
Well, talking to my agents on the phone that whole weekend, they were telling me that Jacksonville did have some interest in me, but I had no idea they was gonna draft me at all. But when I got that phone call, man, it was a blessing. It was unbelievable.
What was it like? I mean, you finally, and I know every player wants to go as high as possible, but when your name finally gets called and you're on the phone, who made the call? Was it Gus Bradley? Was it Dave Caldwell? Who makes that phone call to you?
Mr. Dave Caldwell called.
Yeah, and what did he tell you?
He was like, he introduced himself, and he was like, "How you doing?" I was like, "I'm doing good." He was like, and then he said, "How would you feel if you be Jacksonville Jaguar?" And I just went crazy.
You're beaming right now, right? Just thinking of it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a culmination of we don't see all the hard work you guys put in. I hear people say, "Oh, these guys are so lucky. Look how much money they can make." You didn't get here through luck, right? You got here through a lot of hard work.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Give us a capsule of your game. Give us kind of the scouting report. What do you bring to the table as an offensive lineman, in your opinion?
Well, I think I'm a very powerful and physical player. And me, at my height for offensive lineman, not very big, but I think I could use my leverage very well.
Steve Spurrier, obviously your head coach there at South Carolina. I don't know how hands-on he is with you offensive lineman, but playing in his kind of offensive system, do you feel like that gets you ready for the National Football League?
Well, yeah, I would think so, because Coach Spurrier, you know, we ran a lot of zone stuff, and in the NFL they run a lot of zone, so it's something that I'm used to.
How are you on your pass protection game? You're a big physical guy. People think you'll be able to contribute right away in the run game. Do you feel confident in your concepts and your techniques and all that? And obviously, you know, everybody wants to improve from where they are right now, but how are you in that aspect of the game?
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, I think I can get better at. And that's one thing I've always said, you know, being a powerful person, I think run blocking is going to come naturally. But I've always been able to pass protect just athletically, but not very technically sound. And I think that can come as the Coach Marone continues to teach me correctly how to do it.
What's Doug Marone been like working with him?
No, you know, he's very good, and I like being around him. And he's a coach that pays very attention to like the detail, like far as like the steps you take, the way you move your hands, and he's able to coach me up on all that stuff. He pays attention to everything. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, is that the kind of experience you've had in the past with coaches? I mean, is there something that stands out about him in particular, maybe compared to other coaches that you have, or is it just more a continuation of, you know, what good coaching looks like when you see it?
Yeah, I can say that. I know what good coaching looks like when I see it, because Coach Elliott, my college coach, you know, he was probably a little different from Coach Marone, but he was a good coach. And, you know, that's what I liked about him. And I can see that Coach Marone is a very good coach.
Are you ready for a week off, man? This whole process for you guys, after you finish your senior year, you go do a bowl game, you go through the process getting ready for the draft, you get drafted, you got rookie mini camp, now you got OTAs. Are you ready to just step back and relax a little bit here?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, every player or person, you know, likes to take a little bit of time off. You know, I'd be glad when, you know, when we finally break from OTAs and minicamp and get ready to take a break off and chill out a couple weeks at home.
It's only been, we don't want to overplay, it's only been, you had the rookie minicamp, a couple weeks of OTAs, like you said, but people talk about, you know, you go from college to the pros. A lot of guys will say, wow, the speed of the game, right? Everybody's just faster. Has there been one or two things that have stood out to you when you looked around, whether it's speed or some other aspect that you say, wow, I can really see this is at such a higher level than anything anybody really does in college?
Yeah, like you said, the speed of it, well, the speed of it is different. You know, things happen very fast, and guys are bigger and stronger, just like the transition from high school to college, and it's the same from college to NFL to me, I feel like. But that'll come, the speed and just being technically sound will help with those bigger guys. So it'll come as you grow maturely in this league.
Dave Caldwell told us that he felt that you drafting you was one of the first times he's had the opportunity in the last 3 years to just say, you know what, this guy is just the best player who's available right now. They've had to fill some specific needs with a lot of picks over the last couple of years, but this was a case where whether we need him or not, this guy's too good to let go by. That's got to make you feel pretty good, right?
Well, yeah, it is. It does feel good to hear him say that. You know, like you said before, a lot of guys work hard and they came a long way, and it felt good. Feels good to hear you say that.
What have they told you about competing? And you know, I think fans have latched on to the idea that, all right, Brandon Leonard's starting at one guard spot. They brought in Stefan Wisniewski to compete with Bolanco at center. And they look at you and Zane Beatles as kind of competing for a spot, whether it's to start immediately or over the course of time. Is that kind of how you're looking at it, or have they talked to you, or they just said, you know, go out there and just be the best football player you can be, and let's see where things fall?
You know, one thing I think this team is surrounded by is, you know, we compete a lot, you know, and that's one thing the coaches talk about here. And I think in this in the offensive line room, you know, we're a group, and we're going to compete with each other to get better and better every day.
What about the contract? Last guy unsigned, right? Yeah. Is that any kind of concern? It seems like everybody, it never gets to a critical point anymore because they've got the slotting system where you get drafted. I mean, from what your agent tells you, is you expect something to get done sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I've been hearing some good news, so I feel like something's going to happen soon.
Yeah, we're expecting by the end of next week, but yeah. Whatever. I mean, I'm sure it'll get done. Are you anxious at all just to have that aspect done? Or, I mean, I know it doesn't matter. I mean, like Dante Fowler got hurt, he gets his contract anyway. That, you know, you're going to get a deal here soon, but do you just want to have that out of the way so you can really focus on football?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really been paying that much of attention, because, you know, I've been focusing on football and trying to learn as much as I can.
Good answer.
And I know it's going to come eventually, but right now I'm just doing what I got
to
do.
What do you like? What are you into? What are we going to see you around town doing? Like when you're in your downtime and you got some free time, whether it's off season or in season, what makes AJ Can tick?
Man, I'm pretty low key. You know, I might just chill out. I go to a lot of movies. You know, I play video games from time to time. Other than that, man, I'm just hanging out. I'm a low-key guy. It doesn't take much for me to get entertained by anything.
Tony's the resident movie hound.
Yeah.
Here.
Mad Max. Have you seen Mad Max?
I have seen it.
Oh,
how many?
Yeah.
He's seen it six times.
Yes, I have.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Right?
Like you said, the resident movie guy. I go a lot.
Yeah, I've been to the movies like four times since I've been here. It's like once a week, so I've been.
Is that the best you've seen recently, Mad Max? What stands out to you?
I really didn't like it because, like, I couldn't get into it. It was on a dirt road fighting the whole time.
Thank you. It's okay, but yeah, it's not the greatest movie the ever,
movie.
Right?
Yeah.
What have you seen recently that you thought was good?
I've seen some scary movies. I saw Insidious 3, and I saw The Poltergeist. But I think the Entourage movie was the best movie I've seen since I've been here.
You guys went as a group?
Yeah, we went to see that movie.
Right? Was that kind of a cool experience?
Yeah, I've never did that before, and I thought that was awesome.
It's always good to, as in lieu of practice, right? Uh-huh. You'd rather sit in a nice, cool movie theater.
Yes, sir.
Rumor is, you know, a lot of times the last day of OTAs, they cancel it at the last minute.
Yeah,
they do some kind of building kind of stuff.
Yeah, I went and saw Insidious 2. I didn't see the Poltergeist movie yet. Because I enjoy the original too much. I just couldn't make myself go see it, but I enjoyed Insidious Chapter 3. I like that series more than I probably should.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, but it goes back in time. It goes back instead of moving forward. That's one thing that kind of
like the prequel.
Yeah, it was a prequel.
Yeah,
where it all came from back in the day. All right, so you may catch AJ Can out and about at one of the local movie plexes out there, and when he's not there, you're gonna find him with his nose in the playbook, getting ready to be a longtime successful Jacksonville Jaguar. Man, we're happy to have you here. Has Jacksonville grown on you yet? I know it's only been a short time that you've been here. You think you're gonna enjoy settling in?
Oh yeah, yeah. It kind of reminds me of Columbia. You know, there's nothing really here but the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really, you know, the biggest thing going on, like it was in South Carolina, it was Columbia. The University of South Carolina was
what we're all
thing.
About here, baby.
So I'm kind of used to it.
All right. Well, AJ, we wish you the best of luck. We appreciate you taking a few minutes. I'm sure you want to hit the showers after a nice, sweaty practice out there. But you know, keep having that attitude of hard work, and I'm sure you'll go far. And this won't be the last time we have you. And thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir. And thank you guys for having me.
You got it. AJ Can of your Jacksonville Jaguars today. Of course, a third-round pick. And now a movie buff, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I like it, Tony. He doesn't fall down on his knees in front of the Mad Max series.
I like it enough for everybody in this building.
I know you do.
If everyone else in this building hated it, the amount of love I have for that movie still is
covers
a positive.
Us all.
Yes.
All right, quick look, Tony, at underrated players today. Didn't have a lot of time with the fan feedback spotlight. Who are you hearing or seeing on the Twitter feedback today?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar. By definition, this will be a hard question to answer. I'll go with the guy we all know in Brandon Linder. From Grant, Jordy Nelson. That was one of the two names that jumped right to mind for me. From Nick, Darryl Smith has been one of the best linebackers in the NFL since he was drafted out of Georgia Tech.
Hashtag, a lot of Darryl Smith.
Yeah, Caldwell's one mistake. From Eric, I've always thought Darren Sproles was way underrated. PPR machine who is just so elusive. And from Duval Doom, I'd say Max Unger. Saints made a great move there, I think.
I star any comment with a PPR reference. Thank you very much. Damon on Facebook went with some Derek Marks. Very underrated. I think that's accurate, although he did nice to see him get some love from his peers in the NFL list of the top 100 players this year. Dustin Smith said, Joe Thomas, maybe one of the best of all time, but you don't hear much about him because he's an offensive lineman. And Alan Lynn said, I hope it's been someone like Dan Scuda. And then we'll find out just how good he can be. I thought you made a good point yesterday. Would that team have done more to re-sign Dan Scuda had they known they were going to lose Borland and Willis this offseason?
I'm sure they would have.
You think they probably would have.
Yeah,
all right.
Jordy Nelson was one of the names that immediately jumped to mind for me. And the other is a guy that I think has been criminally underrated for the last 3 years is Delanie Walker, the Tennessee tight end.
He's good. I don't know. I think he's about, in my mind, rated about where he merits. One guy for me that stood out was Marcel Reese of the Oakland Raiders. You know, kind of a thankless job being a fullback in today's NFL, but when he's had opportunities to carry the football, he's done a great job with that. Excellent receiver out of the backfield. He's just a football player's football player. I like that guy a lot. Jordy Nelson's interesting because he puts up big numbers, but when you list who are the best receivers in the National Football League,
No one ever lists him.
And really, probably the case with he and Randall Cobb to a great degree because that's what happens when you play with Aaron Rodgers. There's going to be somewhat of an expectation that he's making those receivers. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com. Check him out online for all the latest with Blake Bortles. Just wrapping up his visit with the media. You'll see a lot there on Jaguars.com and on the airways at 1010XL, 92.5 FM throughout the course of the day and tomorrow here on Jaguars Today. Thanks to David Garrard in with us today, co-hosting. He'll be back in probably the week of the 27th when he gets those retro days going out at Retro Fitness, but for the most part, going on his summer hiatus coming up. And A.J. Cann, one of the newest members of your Jacksonville Jaguars, as he said, I haven't even been paying attention to that contract stuff. My nose is in the playbook. Good answer, A.J., and we appreciate him stopping by as well today. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap.